But I'm really happy to be here. And how many people have been to Guam or heard of Guam? Heard of? Okay, a couple heard of. Nobody's been. All right. So, if you can read that. Guam is a very small island. It's not that isolated in that we're about 3.5 hours south of Tokyo, 3.5 hours east of Manila. But it's very small. Of the 212 square miles, 61 square miles belongs to the Department of Defense. We have several military bases on Guam. The population is, you know, it's kind of small townish, and it is an unincorporated U.S. territory. And this is an important thing to consider, I believe, in that we don't have political representation in Washington. Now, in February, the military, they're expanding. They're bringing Marines from Okinawa because they're not really wanted there anymore. And they want to bring them to Guam. Now, a small island, population changes really affect the island. And in February, we got the draft environmental impact statement from Department of Defense, 11,000 pages. We had 90 days to read it. Yes. The U.S. EPA called it environmentally unsatisfactory. They gave it the lowest grade possible. If you can't see that. The proposal, they want to destroy 71 acres of reef in Apra Harbor, in the harbor, to allow for the docking of nuclear aircraft carriers. Native limestone forests, they'd like to use those as firing ranges. And a 50% increase in the population. And you know, as you know, a small town or a small island, it's just a incredible impact. So they want to bring in the Marines, plus their dependents, Navy personnel, and everything that goes along, plus about 20,000 foreign workers to build what they need to live in and to support this move. So then they let us know that there'll be an increase in hazardous waste, which, not surprising. But we are an island. We are a small landmass in the Pacific Ocean. The US EPA says the impacts to the coral reefs with that dredging in the harbor are unprecedented. And with, I'm wondering if anything like this could happen in your state where you do have political representation. Water is a big deal on an island, and we have an aquifer, it's a limestone aquifer in the north where the Air Force Base is located. And they're predicting that we'll have a very large shortfall of water once everyone's on board, especially for people living off base. Now, they plan to drill at least 20 new wells up in the northern part of the island where the aquifer is, the lens. And that's going to open it up to, we don't really know what's going to happen. There may be salination from the increased draw of the water, fresh water, so it's pretty frightening. This scuba diver is in one of the wells. This is a fresh water. He's diving in fresh water. And then most of Guam relies on this aquifer for the drinking water. So it is not guaranteed to be protected from contaminants, and that's very scary for us. Okay, NOAA, their response to the DEIS, unprecedented, largest troop movement since World War II. Unprecedented includes the largest dredging action, okay? And so you can see this is the mouth of the harbor. This is Inner Harbor. This is all military owned, this whole area. I live over here. These area, there are shoals here, coral reefs. They want to have the aircraft carriers to come in and be able to park either here. They're not really quite sure. But the studies that they've done about this area, which I'll speak to you later, were very faulty. So you can see dredging action is going to affect the whole of the harbor, which is used for tourists. Tourism is the second largest industry in Guam, Japanese, Asian tourists. And so they go there to scuba dive. So it's going to affect everything. All right, and the other thing is it's going to affect every aspect of the environment, the culture, and the economy. So that's pretty big. Now, one of the really key issues that has not been addressed is the invasive species issue. With all that cargo, all those people coming in, who is going to protect Guam? You may have heard of the brown tree snake. This is maybe why you know Guam. The brown tree snake came in just after World War II, and it has decimated the bird population on the island. So there's going to be about a 600% increase in the volume of things coming into the island. But there's no commitment to fund any kind of plan to contain any kind of invasive species coming in. And to illustrate, in the years 2003 to 2005, 8 new species of frogs made their way into Guam. And so that's an incredible amount. I mean, we are under USDA APHIS, but the inspection facilities are run by local customs and quarantine, and they're looking for contraband, drugs, those kind of things. They're not really looking for invasive species. USDA has one entomologist for identifying pests, but there's, you know, not a plant pathologist, and they use the University of Guam, where I'm from. But it's very scary. Now, they have mentioned a Micronesian biosecurity plan, but we have nothing. We don't even have the first draft of the biosecurity plan, and things are already rolling. All right, and then clearing the tracts of land needed for this buildup are going to give even less habitat for our native species, including the Marianas fruit bat. This is the Guam cocoa. We don't see them anymore because of the brown tree snake, but there are programs now for bringing them back to the island, introducing them into the wild. Beautiful bird. Also, the Guam Micronesian kingfisher is gone due to the brown tree snake. And also the Mariana crow. I think there's 2 now living on Guam. There are studies going on right now, research. The islands of Rodas and Saipan, the Commonwealth of the Northern Marianas, they did not get invaded by the snake. And they're doing a big effort to keep the snake from getting, you know, airplanes, get a lot of inspections so that they don't spread to the other islands. So they're now studying because the birds, you know, they seed. They're insectivorous, so the insects, they're comparing those traits of Guam, Rota, and Saipan right now. The Mariana 8-spotted butterfly is located in the limestone forest where they would like to turn into a firing range. And what's going to happen? It will probably end up extinct. So the plants it needs to survive grow only in those limestone forests. All right, 13 coral species are petitioned to be listed under the U.S. Endangered Species Act. Those are growing right there in the Upper Harbor area where they're planning to dredge. And there are 360 coral species recorded on Guam. And that's good, but not everywhere. It hasn't been surveyed everywhere. And that's one of the problems here, is that we don't have a complete survey of our natural resources, of everything that we have. So once the military is in and on, we won't know if the loss of this species, plant, animal, is due to the buildup or not. And also, Upper Harbor is the only protected lagoon area in the Marianas Island chain. So there are unique formations of coral that exist because we're in Typhoon Alley. So those areas are protected from typhoon winds and waves. And they don't really know what they're going to do about the potential protected status of these animals. And the information that they gave in the draft environmental impact statement, the acreage does not correspond to in-situ surveys. So and they haven't refused, or they haven't looked at local surveys or federal surveys that have been done to call into question the numbers that they arrived at. So the Guam Water Authority's response is that Guam, the natives of Guam, the people who live in Guam, I've been there for 22 years, we should not have to take on the burden of losing our water, losing our animals and plants, and I think it's true. Now, DOD, they own 31% of the land on Guam, but this is when you compare it to other places where Department of Defense owns land, 4% in California, 3% in Hawaii, and less than 2% in the other states. So 31% on a small island is quite a bit. Water Authority says they don't agree. The military feels that their responsibility ends at the fence line of their bases. This is the Air Force Base. But, of course, it's going to impact the whole island. Roads will be congested, and although that's maybe moot here in L.A., I don't know if you live here. And the cumulative effects, they have not been studied. We do not know. It hasn't been properly analyzed in the draft. Department of Agriculture, there is a law in the books in Guam that is illegal to take live coral. All right, now from the draft, we've gone into the environmental impact statement. When after that is the record of decision, which has been signed. Okay, for the environmental impact statement, mitigation procedures such as securing money for funding for the infrastructure for wastewater and water, because Guam cannot shoulder that burden of cost. And then also, they think that by letting people come little by little, managing the influx of the military personnel to not exceed the infrastructure capabilities. And also, they have to do an additional assessment of the harbor to see if they can actually destroy 71 acres. And I think this is this picture is of Bikini Atoll when they were doing the tests. Department of Defense did the nuclear testing in the islands, and those people still cannot go back to their island. And the people of Guam, we cannot vote for president. We have a non-voting representative in Congress. Thank you. So, not a pretty picture, but yeah, real. Any questions?
What's the corporate impact? I think you have the largest Home Depot in the world.
Yes, we do. Yes, now, of course, there is that aspect of the population that is very happy. They're thinking they're going to be, the economic benefits are going to be great. But the environmental cost of those economic benefits, people are starting to realize that it might not be worth it. Yeah. Yeah. But, of course, there are many people bidding, a frenzy of bidding for contracts and million-dollar contracts. Now that the record of decision, it was signed in September, the monies can start being released. But once again, with the infrastructure, you get money to upgrade water, sewer, wastewater, but then you need the money to maintain it, which is a big problem on Guam, you know, maintenance. It's a very harsh climate. Beautiful as it is, it's a very harsh climate. So that money has never been identified. The money to for the invasive species for inspections, and that money has not been identified. The research at the university, this kind of shifts their focus, although, you know, we're not big with agriculture, we're a small island, but ecological research, now they don't know where they're going to get money to figure out what is going to happen with the invasive species. I don't know if you're familiar with the cycads. We had the cycad scale came in probably through landscapers bringing plants in from Florida. It's almost wiped out the native Fadang, Cycas micronisica, of the island. So it's just, you can't even imagine all the little parts of the web that will be affected. Any other questions?
This is going to go forward regardless of some of the questions that are coming up.
Oh, I've got that. The question is, this is going to go forward regardless of the questions that are being posed. Well, the record of decision has been signed. So sounds like it, but there is an opposition. The scientists, several of the scientists that I work with, are trying to get a paper published that would draw attention. They want to get it in a peer-reviewed journal first, and then perhaps a union of concerned scientists. So there are people working to get the word out. That's why I'm so happy to be here to just let you know, because, you know, Guam, most people don't really think of it. Dan Rather did a really wonderful special that I don't know if anyone saw that. You can download it at iTunes for $1.99, which is what I did, and he really lays out the picture very well. Yeah.
Signed it.
Record of Disability, must be the Secretary of State, Hillary. You know, I'm not sure. And then the Department of Defense, and I think it was someone from the Navy, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead. Who owns land, or how's land transferred on private lands?
Okay, now that's the, well, yeah, that's a big problem, because the military can claim eminent domain, and they can take land from people using that process. Now, when they first started talking about the buildup, they said, no, we're going to stay in our footprint. We don't need any additional land. But the firing ranges, that is, that land is owned by private landowners. And they're, of course, they're very concerned that they're going to be losing their land. And the Chamorro people, when in World War II, you know, the Japanese were in Guam, and then the U.S. came and liberated the island, and the people are very patriotic in Guam and very grateful for that. But when they started taking land, the Chamorro people thought, well, yeah, you know, they need it to fix things up, but then they're going to give it back. But they never gave it back, and of course, they got the best parts, you know, I mean, the up north, most beautiful beaches, and yeah, so land is a very big issue. At the moment, especially that the military said, oh, we don't need more land. Oh, now we do. And if we need it, that's would be how the process that they would go through. Yeah, very good question. Thank you.
Well, at this time, if I'm correct, I'm supposed to leave this last slide up so the recording keeps taking place. And we'll have a general discussion for a few minutes of questions to the speakers, if you want to ask a few more. And if not, you just, I would suggest if you want to talk to them, ask them to come up and address your question. And if not, we can move into the next section. So if you have any questions, go ahead and speak up. I do have a question on your environmental assessments. Who is involved in doing those, the authority? In doing it, is it the military? Because I know they have their own component of environmental assessments. Is it your?
Thank you. That's a really good question. He's asked who was involved. You mean for the draft EIS?
Yeah.
Yes. The military contracts scientists to do that. They did not contact anyone from the university who has local knowledge, who are stakeholders in the island. They brought in their people from Hawaii, or they might be scientists who are living on Guam, but. You know, temporarily, but they did not use, that's a really sticking point too, that they did not use the local expertise. They did not use the marine lab, the scientists who really understand what's happening. So the university really responded quite strongly to this, to the draft environmental impact statement. I mean, they had over 10,000 responses, yeah. So, yes, that's a big problem. And then the people coming in, the contracts, most of the contracts are off-island contractors. So they're coming in. So, you know, we're not really seeing that benefit. But, yeah.
So what's the local government like? I mean, you must have some kind of local government that, for the island, you know,
yes.
Don't have representation in the United States.
Yeah, what's the local government like? Well, we have an organic act that was passed in, which mirrors the U.S. Constitution, but the U.S. Constitution does not automatically apply to the people on Guam. Congress has broad powers, and they can make decisions regarding our island, even though we can't really influence very much. Our congressional delegate is a non-voting member. So we have our local government, we have a governor, we have sent 15 senators. So in the beginning, as I said, the the Department of Defense said, oh, we're not going to be taking any more land. So people are just thinking, cha-ching, okay, you know, we'll be able to make some money, some of the business owners. But the government leaders kind of went on with that. But until the draft impact statement came out, we really didn't know what was going to be happening. And so it was only in February when we had 3 months to respond, including the government. So the government agencies, most of the agencies recommended no action for the buildup, for like the nuclear carriers coming through and firing ranges. And the big problem is the water and wastewater, you know, just the people coming in. You know, they all have to drink and they all have to go to the bathroom. So how are we going to take care of this influx? So the local government, you know, now once the people started saying, hey, standing up, now they're kind of backtracking and going, oh, okay. But in the beginning, they were, you know, they were with pro buildup, I should say. Yeah, so I don't know. My question to you is, do you think if we're, you know, in the state of Kansas, or if they came in and said we're going to take, you know, you have to extrapolate the numbers, but, you know, Guam is a very small place. Do you think that would happen in Kansas, or would you have an uproar of?
I don't know how it is, like on the military land that they have in Missouri, Nebraska, and whatever, but we are on a military piece of land, in other words, our original field,
mm-hmm.
and the deed that gave that to Kansas State does state specifically that if the military ever wants it, they can come and get it.
They can come and get it, yeah. And how did the military acquire that in many years ago? Or
they would have likely aggravated a lot of the local population when they came in and took the land.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, exactly. As I was doing my research for this, the federal government owns a lot of the West. Yeah, it's amazing how much it does own. And but that's the federal government, but I'm sure they could turn it over to Department of Defense uses. Yeah.
Well, the county that I'm in, 50%, over 50% of the county is owned by the federal government.
50% of the county is owned by the federal government.
BLM management.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a tax base and some of those other things, it has a huge impact on the county.
Yeah, and we fall under the Department of Insular Affairs, Guam. Guam does. Also, one thing I didn't say, culturally, the area that they want to take for the firing ranges, it's one of the last kind of oceanfront limestone forests that hasn't been developed. And it's also an ancient Chamorro village. The Chamorro people are the native indigenous people of Guam. And so, of course, they're very upset because they're like grinding stones called lusongs there. And, you know, it was a village in the past. And on the one of the slides of the cultural site was the lattice stone, which is what the houses were built upon. So it's a very touchy issue, not just personal land, but, you know, culturally. And with more people coming in, the Chamorro language is already endangered. It's going to be even more endangered. And the Chamorro people are just so so wonderful and so welcoming to everyone. So, yeah. Thank you.